kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does, and we are back at it in the magic podcast shop here as we are in the air everywhere. The vast power of iHeart, the global reach of podcasting, and thank you for choosing us to listen to. We appreciate it. You have a lot of audio options, and we're glad you have chosen to stumble into the Fifth Hour. And myself, Ben, along with the man that does not know how to park in a normal way, David Gascon.
Really? Appreciate that. I'm only one of the two people in this party that's been driving and parking and actually showing up to work every day. And so, and I appreciate the eloquent introduction, Ben Maller.
Well, you don't need to pat yourself on the back. I am following company guidelines. I am following what my bosses have told me to do. And I want you to know that I did have some traffic making my way to the studio in a previous show because Bella was laying in the hallway. Oh, so God. I had to jump over Bella. My Shih Tzu, to get in here.
Yeah, it's not easy. You're lucky you don't drink. I mean, because you could really do some damage if you trip over her. It's a little dog.
Yeah, she's the size of an Ewok. She's smaller than an Ewok.
Yeah.
She fell asleep, though. She was bored the other night with my monologues, and I looked over, and she was like...
I texted you before you started that show, and I said, this is going to be Hammock Radio by Ben Maller, and sure shit, your dog passes out while you're doing a monologue.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, though, Gascon, you're very uncomfortable with originality.
That's not original.
And all that. That was one of the more... Now, this full disclosure, Gascon was upset because we did the Sour Hour,
where people called up
and just bitched and complained and vented about things that were going on in their life. What you don't understand, I'm going to teach you about radio, Gascon. That kind of stuff, people love. All right? The people could not get enough of that. We spilled that into a second hour. It was magical. So you're wrong. You're just completely wrong.
I don't know if I agree.
People love that.
People have been watching the news 24/7, and they've been watching all the negative pub on social media. Why do they need an hour strictly for that on your show?
Because you don't understand this because you live in a bubble. You're a west of the 405 guy, but there's a lot of people that listen to the radio that are by themselves, and people who don't have any family around. They're boxed in their apartments, and they feel like the world has been boxed off for them. And if you give them the opportunity, and they're alone, they're scared to get on the radio and complain and vent. It's therapeutic.
Yeah.
It's empowering. People love it.
Wow.
They can't get enough of it. You don't understand. You think everyone's got a bunch of family around, a bunch of friends. It's not like that for a lot of people, unfortunately. For whatever reason, life has led them astray, and they're by themselves, and the only friends they have are the radio.
Wait a minute. They have the radio. They have social media. They have a telephone. Like, why not pick up the phone or call somebody or send a text message, send you...
Who the hell are you going to call, Gascon, at 3 o'clock in the fucking morning,
all right,
when I'm on? Who are you going to call?
First of all, I'm awake during that time.
Loser.
Wait, I mean I'm a loser. So you're calling your own listeners losers because they're also awake at that time?
No, I'm calling you a loser is what I'm calling. You're a loser.
I'm up usually working. I'm usually cutting up sound for your show, trying to make your podcast better. By the way, I got some great news for you, and I have a wonderful idea that I have not disclosed for you just yet with this podcast.
All right. Well, don't wait. Are you teasing that, or are you going to pay off the tease right now?
I will wait because you have some things on the menu as well.
I do have some things on the menu. So we've got the Kiwi Pink Slip, the Lenny review, and we'll get to that. We might get some other stuff as well along the way, but we've definitely got those stories to get to. So I'll start with the Kiwi Pink Slip, and I have been impacted by the coronavirus. The economy has started to affect me here, and if you've followed the show, you know that in addition to doing the radio show for Fox and this podcast for years, I have been believe it or not, an international radio correspondent for Radio Sport out of Auckland, New Zealand, which is a national network. New Zealand's not a huge country, but it is on all over New Zealand. And they talk about things like cricket and soccer and things like that. But they have me on once a week, and I have been doing this for about a decade, going on, making weekly appearances, talking U.S. sports, because they get the U.S. sports games, the football and basketball mostly, not so much baseball, but they get those games on television in New Zealand. And so I had become, over the years, I was a staple with Darcy Waldegrave, who was a big radio personality in New Zealand. He did a morning show. I started on his morning show as a correspondent, and then he moved to Afternoon Drive a number of years ago, and I went on with Darcy in Afternoon Drive. We've become pen pals. We've become friends. We text each other. Just a radio guy, and I love the fact that we can tell, you know, trade stories about what radio's like in New Zealand, and he'll tell me his stories, and I'll tell him the struggles that I have here doing radio in the United States. And so we'd shoot the shit a lot, and on and off the air, and on and off the air. And so it turns out that I got a phone call the other day. I was out for a walk, actually. I was taking my walk around the neighborhood, and Darcy says, "Hey, I got some bad news for you." I said, "Okay, I'm ready for the bad news. What's the bad news?" And he said that they were shutting down the entire network.
Oh.
That Radio Sport, which had been on the air for like 20 years in New Zealand, and they were going off the air, and he didn't have a lot of information. He just told me that there's no guarantee it comes back once the everything's done and we get back to normal life in the world. So he didn't know about that. There's no guarantee it'll ever come back. And so I lost that gig, and they paid me a little bit of money every week to go on there. But I really feel bad for the people that I'd become friends with, obviously, who are out of work. Darcy said he'll be okay because he's saved up an FU fund, which is important. Most people haven't done that.
Yeah.
I lost the gig in New Zealand. Won't be calling into them anymore. And I'm hoping that they will be able to bring that back once all of this madness in the world comes to an end.
That's unfortunate. Now, did you or have you during your time, your relationship with Darcy, have you ever watched more sports down under, like whether it's Australian rules basketball, or rugby, or maybe some Australian soccer, anything like that? Have you dipped your toes into?
Oh, God, no. The only thing that's annoyed me is I have been preempted at several times because of cricket, and I didn't know anything about cricket before I started doing this. And the cricket's a big sport there, and these games will sometimes they go like 3 to 7 days. You'll have a cricket match that will go 3 to 7 days.
Yeah, there's no clock.
People complain about baseball, but imagine being handcuffed by cricket.
Yeah. I mean,
my God, I'd rather be drugged, handcuffed, and gagged than have to sit through 7 days of cricket. We have a lot of listeners. You know, that our show, the overnight show, was picked up at night on Radio Sport in New Zealand. We've got a cult following in that country. So hopefully you guys can still listen to this podcast if you're hearing it now, and you can hear the radio show on iHeart Radio. And it's not just that. Now, I have our buddy Artie Martinez, who had been working at the NBC Sports Radio Network. They shut down that network here in the United States. They went out of business this week. And that's it. They're done. No more NBC Sports Radio. And so he lost his job. I got to tell you, though, I've never told this story before, but years ago, when my deal was up at Fox, I had some conversations. They were interested in the Maller brand over there at the Peacock Radio Network. And they had reached out to me about possibly doing some stuff with them. And fortunately, it never got that serious because Fox ended up keeping the show, obviously, and I'm still here. I'm very happy to be here. But they were flirting with me a while back, doing the old mating dance, and I am so happy that I did not end up making that option. I didn't really have that option to make. It was building towards that, but I'm happy that didn't work out for obvious reasons. But it does suck for my friends in radio that I've known for years that are out of work.
Yeah, it reminds me of a story when I returned home from Bakersfield after a 6-month tour with the Mariners High A affiliate, and I had an offer that was sort of on the table from this this recruiter who was doing work overseas. And it was actually a state-run news channel in the People's Republic of China. And I remember you encouraging me to take this job.
I did. I did. I told you to go to China. I told you to move to China. Why didn't you move to China? You could have been right in the front lines of media coverage in China.
Yeah, I could have been on the firing squad. Could you imagine? Man, the choices we do and do not make, that would have been quite a moment. I don't even know if I would have survived.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Isn't it? It's the old philosophy about life, right? Life is just the product of the decisions you make, right? Every day, the decisions you make leads to the ultimate outcome of your life. You make the good decisions, and you don't even know at the time. Like, who the hell, who knows? You think nobody could have predicted 3 months ago that we'd be in the position that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Right? And so the same people now seem to think they know what's going to happen 3 months from now. You don't know.
Right. And speaking of which, since we've had a bump in certain things across the platforms, I think it's a good reminder to tell folks that listen to this podcast or listen to your show, is the first thing that I would recommend to do from a financial sense is to call your credit card companies, call your home lender, and call anyone that you have an equity line set up with, because credit card companies right now are offering either 0% APR or they're not charging any finance fees for the months of March to April, not April to May. So those are good things to point out right now. And if you have a situation, whether you're a homeowner or you're renting, I would talk to the people upstairs, because they're going to be in a position they're willing to negotiate with you, because you have what they want, and that's the money. It's not the property itself. So these are trying times for everybody. Obviously, I feel bad for you losing your gig down under, but there is actually some good news, Ben, because we had just gotten word earlier this week about The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with some other podcasts that are on the iHeart platform. But month to date, for the month of March, we were up 67%.
Wow.
67% compared to the month of February. And over the last 60 days, we're actually up 39% from where we were prior to that. So there's a lot of good reasons for that, and I think part of it's the overall health of Ben Maller. You don't have any kidney stones or gallstones. You don't have a burnt mouth. You're not sick anymore. You're not losing your phone at Costco anymore. You're not getting backed into by cars in the parking lot at Costco.
Well, I can't guess. God, nothing bad can happen if you don't leave your house. I mean, right? I mean, everyone's generally, you really have to have some bad luck if you injure yourself just staying at home all day.
Yes,
I
mean, yes.
What are we doing here?
Now, part of the reason why I brought up those numbers is I have a good idea, and I think it's a great one for us that we should execute in the month of April, is because just yesterday we had a good conversation, especially you, with the great Prince of Darkness, Lee Klein. And I think in the month of April, we should do something a little bit different for the audience, where I pick either a date or sport or one particular athlete in your lifetime that you can reflect about. And we can do this in a short form version, 15 to 20 minutes, and it'd be an isolated event. So if we were to start this for the month of April, one player in particular I want you to talk and reflect about would be Jonathan Broxton. So I know
that's rather random.
It is
Jonathan Broxton.
It is random, but there are some great moments, especially because we got word earlier this week that the Dodgers are back on television. You and Lee talked about a ton of things, mostly Clipper related, but there are athletes and there are players and there's dates that come to mind for everybody, and especially in the sports world, that I think if you had a chance to opine about that person or that event for 15 or 20 minutes, it's a lot of the background stuff that, you know, you as a fan can elaborate on, just because the anguish or the excitement that you had or do still have about that particular person. So I think that'd be a good treat, just a little bit of an appetizer before we get to the main course with everyone else that we bring on the show.
Yeah, we can add that to future editions of the show. But, you know, Broxton. The first thing I remember about Jonathan Broxton, my memory of him as a Dodger was that home run he gave up in the against the Philadelphia Phillies
Matt
in the National
fucking
League.
Stairs.
Yeah, I was at that game in the auxiliary press box, and I think that ball is still sailing around the world. I believe it is. It's like a comet at this point. That ball was hit so fucking far by Matt Stairs. It was unbelievable. I remember Broxton just being morbidly obese. He was like 300 pounds.
Yes.
He's a massive human being, Jonathan Broxton.
He was huge. I was hoping he'd maybe recapture a little bit of his glory when he went to Cincinnati. But after Matt Stairs just destroyed him.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, he was never. He was, and he had been a dominant pitcher for the Dodgers. The first few years he was their relief guy, their closer. He was, he had ERAs that were ridiculously low, and he was a dominant pitcher, but you never trusted him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he was one of these guys, he had great numbers, but then it seemed like in big spots, he would puke all over the mound, and I recall that. And then he bounced around. After he left the Dodgers, he went from team to team to team, and yeah. I think he played for four other teams. He's not even – he should still be pitching, but he was so bad, he's out of baseball. I think he's like 35 now, and he's not pitching at last – well, no one's pitching anywhere right now because of what's going on, but he's been out of baseball for a couple of years, I believe.
So yeah.
He's Dunsky's at this particular point.
That ball was absolutely crushed. I haven't seen a ball hit that hard since Mark McGwire did that back at Dodger Stadium in the glory days where he hit one out of the stadium. But man, he fucking tattooed Broxton in that game, and that was the end of the Dodgers.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. And because of that, you talk about, you know, decisions, and this wasn't really a decision. Like, it was a poor decision, but it was an incident. Like, Jonathan Broxton's career went to shit after that home run. And Matt Stairs is, for the rest of his life, a Philadelphia sports legend.
Right.
Like, my guy Fats in Philly and yes. All you guys in Philly, this guy's, because of that pinch hit home run, that two-run moonshot at Dodger Stadium. And for those who don't recall, the Dodgers would have been evened up 2-2 in the NLCS. It was game four, and because Stairs hit that home run and some other things happened, the Dodgers lost, the Phillies won. They went up 3-0, the series was pretty much over, and it did turn out to be over. But Matt Stairs, I believe he was doing some television work for the Phillies. And I know he's beloved there because of that home run. And he didn't play for the Phillies all that much. Like, there's another guy, Matt Stairs. I remember him mostly with the Oakland Athletics, but he played with a bunch of different teams. He bounced all over the place, but in Philadelphia, man, he's all about him. They love him.
Yeah, it was like Stairs, Daniel Murphy. There were just certain guys during the Dodgers' run of the last handful of years that have picked them apart. Like, Daniel Murphy was batting 400, I think, in a couple series against the Dodgers. Matt Stairs ruined them, and then of course, you know, what happened with Houston, too. But there's just guys in particular that really lit up the Dodgers in crunch time situations.
Yeah, I got to tell you, though, I like Matt Stairs, although I don't like what he did to the Dodgers. But I remember when he was a young player, he came up with Montreal, and I think he played somewhere else. But I remember him in the mid-90s with Oakland. And they came in. I was covering the Angels, and he came in there. And I remember I was in the A's dugout, and he walked into the dugout, and he looked out at the field at the Big A, and he just like, oh, this is so exciting. He had never been there before at that point, and he was like so excited, like he was like a kid. Like it's the same reaction like I would have if I was a kid walking into a ballpark or any of us would have for the first time. How cool it was! It was just neat to see that because it was humanizing. You know, a lot of these guys are complete douchebags, and they're just, you know, whatever. But he was like, he really was appreciative of the moment, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's what minor league players talk about is the show, right? Like, you always think, well, what's the show? Like, the show is Major League Baseball. That's like when you get between the lines, that chalk, and you are in a major league facility. Not rookie ball, not a double-A facility, not somewhere in the sticks. But, man, like, when you get to the show, it's... I mean, it doesn't matter if you're playing in Oakland or Pittsburgh where it's an empty yard. Like, when you're there, that's it. That's real.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And the way the baseball stadiums in the major leagues, it's the Taj Mahal. It's insane. Yeah. Like, there used to be some shithole stadiums that were terrible and disgusting, like Shea Stadium.
Comiskey.
Yeah, Wrigley Field, even before they renovated Wrigley Field, was just the visiting locker room. You had to walk through like a stair maze to get to the locker room. You had to walk through a little catwalk where the fans were below you, and it was wild. And it's not like that from what I understand anymore. They've made it much better. So everywhere is first class all the way. They say clubhouse. It's really like at a 5-star golf resort, and you go to a golf resort and the locker room and the way it's set up and all that. Now, I wanted to bring up the Lenny Dykstra interview from last week. All right, so now we both had the same idea after we had talked to him. I thought Lenny was great. Man, was he entertaining. He told some wonderful stories, wild and crazy. It was classic Lenny Dykstra. So I figured, hey, we'd get some publicity out of this, right? Because Lenny said what I felt were several newsworthy things. We didn't get any, though, Gaskin.
No.
And I found out why. I reached out to some of my friends who work in the mainstream media at big newspapers, and they almost all said the same thing, some version of the same thing. They essentially said that they are ignoring Lenny. It's like the boy that cried wolf.
Yeah.
That Lenny has done and said so many outrageous things over his last few years since he's had some legal problems that they've just decided to stop covering him. They stopped reporting his amazing declarations and all that. So it sucks, but I felt like the fact that he said he was going to get pardoned by Donald Trump, I thought that was interesting. And some of the stories he said about Barry Bonds, and I thought all of that was fascinating, but it's only for our ears, apparently.
I don't know. I mean, there were a lot of people that did respond via social media, though, enjoying the stories or saying, like, yeah, he's batshit crazy. Yeah. There was quite a few that echoed my sentiments about how the fuck has he lived that long? You know, he's 57 now.
Well, that's a great point, because I remember the joke, not so much with Lenny, but years ago, the joke was, and it was kind of the sick, macabre joke, was like, well, Mike Tyson's not going to make it to 40, or or Daryl Strawberry, or Dwight Gooden, the guys that were just going for it back in the day with the coke and all that, just living life to a life of excess. And here we are, and these guys, Mike Tyson's a mellow guy, he's got cats, but they're kitty cats, not big tigers and big cats, and he's living a tranquil life and doing yoga and all that stuff. And Daryl Strawberry's a preacher in St. Louis. He's a man of God. Now, Dwight Gooden's still crazy. Dwight Gooden's still doing wild stuff and getting arrested and living life on the edge, but he's still around. Well, and then you got Lenny Dykstra, who was like the party boy from the Phillies and the Mets, and it seems like he's doing better. I actually thought Lenny sounded better than I was expecting, to be honest with you, because last I'd heard Lenny, he was not doing good.
Yeah, I mean, when I had to look at some background stuff going on Google, you just see pictures of him. And the first thing I thought was, man, he looks like he's 70, not 57. He just looked banged up and worn and like an old glove. And
that's what overindulgence will do, right? Yes. You live in the fast lane. Burning the candle at both ends eventually catches up to you.
Yeah, him and I think Lawrence Taylor, those are the two guys that really worked it from both sides of the candle. And they have maxed out on what they've done on and off the field. So colorful men, I will say that much, because they got a decorated past of accomplishments and, of course, some infamous moments, too.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
So now we can do some study this if you want, Gaskin. You were going to tell some, you were saving something. Weren't you saving something that you wanted to rant about right now before we get to the other stuff?
Oh, no. I mean, that was it earlier. What I wanted to mention, yeah, because...
That was it? You were teasing that?
Well, yeah, I think it's important, right? Because 67% in a month, that's huge. You should be happy about that. No. That's fine.
I'm glad people are enjoying the show. What's the point of doing it if nobody's going to listen to it? I can just sit in the room and not spend all this time doing this nonsense.
Well, I know, but we've had more people that have participated in it, and I think that it's a good cause, right? Like that's you said a couple weeks ago that we want to run and gun with the big people that are here at Fox or at iHeart, and we're putting in the time, we're putting in the work, and it's paying off a little bit. Yeah. I mean, not monetarily, but.
Of course, but it's a funnel-rama. It's the funnel-rama, Gascon. It's not about the money, man. It's not about that. Listen, we're just killing time. We got nothing else to do, right? Come on. You got nothing else going on. What do you got going on? You gonna watch the Animal Kingdom on TV or something like that? What do you got going on?
So I have been busy. I've been reading a lot more. I'm actually writing a pilot as we speak. I have a makeshift little workout in my backyard, a medicine ball. A heavyweight ball, two dumbbells, a heavy rope, and some jump rope. So
you said two, but you've actually got three dumbbells when you include yourself.
Nah, yeah. That's not. I mean, you could save that for your overnight show with the lightweights and drunks and meth addicts. So, but yes, really? I'm doing my best to exercise and maintain some kind of a semblance. But we need to get back to work as a country, man.
I agree.
I was watching a couple days ago. On Fox, on Big Fox, Laura Ingraham had a doctor on. His name is Stephen Smith. He was he's an infectious disease specialist. And he was on, he was talking about the chloroquine, the hydroxychloroquine, and saying that that was a game changer in his thoughts about how he's been treating people and his patients haven't been intubated. So they're not having a pipe, like a windpipe broken through with their throat all the way down to help them breathe. And he thinks that with the way that they've been treating people, that this can help obviously push people from being an inpatient to an outpatient with obviously proper medical care. But I mean, man, New York's been hit so hard, and same with New Jersey. I think we're doing a pretty good job here in California so far.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the doom and gloom crowd will not be proven correct.
Yeah,
that they're not. Oftentimes, they're wrong. These bold declarations that are being made, but if that drug turns out to be the one that can put a stop to this, or at least treat the people so they don't die, I mean that would be a wonderful thing, obviously, and that would get us back. But there is a point. It's an odd thing. There's this fine balance, that you have to, at some point, you got to get back or else there's nothing to get back to.
Right, yeah. I mean,
So you have to, people say that's cold and that's not right. You can't say that, but that's just the reality of the world. You, at some point, you have to make a decision where we have to get commerce back. Or else there's just going to be people dying from not having jobs and not being able to pay for anything. It's just going to be brutal.
Yeah, because it all compounds, right? Because if you're at home, you're not exercising probably. You're probably not eating well. You're either smoking or drinking or doing both. You're going batshit crazy because you're stuck at home and pretty much in a quarantine. There's no engagement with people. Like, you can't go out and interact. You can't go to a bar or a restaurant. So I just think for your inner self, you need that. You need to get out and scream a little bit, right? I mean, I blitz right down the 405 and the 110 freeway. But, man, this is like one of those times where I wish there actually was traffic, because I need that normalcy. I need the engagement. And we can do as much as we can on the podcast and you on your radio show, but without having that kind of connectivity with sports and movies and shows and all that stuff, we need it all, man, and we need it back as soon as possible. So it's a huge, huge accomplishment about what the people in the medical field, doctors and nurses and surgeons and people in the ICU are doing right now, because yeah, those are our heroes right now, and those are on the front lines. It's not, I mean, our military can only do so much, but right now it's the people that are in their scrubs right now doing all the heavy lifting for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing, too, about that is, we've seen in Italy and I guess parts of America now, medical students that normally would have to spend years before they get to the front lines are now being put into the front lines because desperate times call for desperate measures, right? As that old saying goes. And I'm hopeful that what you referred to as far as the situation with the the drug that they think might be a breakthrough to help treat the coronavirus, that they're not going to wait a year, that whatever it takes, right? That you need to have some expediting of the process or process, right? You can't just sit back and wait for a year. You're going to, if this is working, then keep giving it to people.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So in the meantime, I still would encourage a lot of people that we've had a few, but when you listen to the podcast, make sure to rate us, subscribe, download it, and then give us 5 stars. But we always listen or always read the reviews on it. So if there's something we can tweak or something we can improve on or do something different, we're all ears. It's not like we have just a proper format that we follow, you know, 9 to 5 on a schedule. So
yes, it's a lot of improv on the podcast, and we're open. If you want to hear us talk to somebody in particular that maybe you know that we know, or you'd just like to hear that you think would be good. I know Justin in Cincinnati and some other people have actually been reaching out to try to get certain people on the podcast. So it's so it's good. We're open to that. Absolutely.
Have you had any adult actresses hit you up to get a little airtime?
No. The only people in the porn industry have been guys that are fans of the show. Yeah. No, I've told the story before, but I've had several adult male, obviously porn stars, who were big Maller Militia guys.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. In fact, the great Seymour Butts, one of the great porn guys, he's been open about it and all that. I don't know if he's working right now still in the business, but he was a big fan of the show. And there was a couple guys back that are out of the adult industry that were big, big fans back in the day. And they would tell me, like, they would be up at night editing their hard work, and they would be listening to the show. So it's rather interesting, I think, what they were doing while they were listening to the show. But, to each their own. Why not?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's really all right, let's do a little study of this, sure. And then we'll put the baby to bed, as they say. So a new study. Several listeners sent this to me. They were like, hey, did you see this, Maller? Because it relates to Doc Mike and what he thinks is the treatment for all of life's ills. But a new study says that astronauts they go to outer space in the future, that their urine, their pee-pee, could end up creating moon concrete. They could use their own urine to build big structures on the moon. How about that? They could make a base on the moon with their own urine and make the concrete from the moon dirt. How about that?
So what do they do with their fecal matter?
I guess they can make some bricks out of that also. Why not? I don't know. I didn't see that part of the story, but I did. The people were very excited to think that your urine is so powerful that it could be used to create concrete. You know, magical urine.
What would cause you? Like, how many days into the wilderness would you have to be in before you drank your own piss?
That's a good question. At some point, you go to survival mode, right?
Yes.
So if you really want, if you love life and you still want to live and you're not ready to check out, then you would do it.
Yeah.
It's just like, remember the movie, the plane crash where they started eating the people?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, you never think you'll get to that point, but you're only a couple of decisions away or bad things happening to you from... But I'd really have to be out. I mean, I have no interest. And you're more of the kind of a freak than I am, Gascon. You probably occasionally drink your own urine.
Well, I mean, it calls for a time. I might have to do it. I mean, it's all about surviving, right?
Yeah. All right. New study out this week shows that alcohol sales up 55%. 55%. And people following the shelter-in-place orders, but they are doing it. And I've noticed this. Now, I always have a lot of drunks that call me up on the overnight, but it has been a special breed that has called up here in recent days on my show. So I have my own scientific data, Gascon. I don't need some study to tell me that alcohol consumption is up 55%. I think it's up like 700% is what I think. Okay. It's beer. It's whiskey. It's a Fireball. You name it. Whatever it is. People can't get enough of it, man. Yeah. It's out of control.
I'm a part of the statistic because I have ordered wine and scotch for certain friends. A couple buddies that are married, I've gotten them wine. Because they're attorneys and they're stuck at home. and a couple other buddies that are always on the go because they're in sales. Our salespeople, they go a little bit harder with their toys, whether it's alcohol or extracurricular drugs. I'm part of those stats that I have got them little gifts of alcohol, but you got to maintain somehow, right?
Yeah. Like I've not gone to that extreme. I can't really, cause I still have to work. So yeah. I think if I was all schnockered on the radio, that would be, might be better. I don't know, but I'm probably getting in trouble for it. So I don't think that's a good idea. But I'm one of the few people that is not just boozing, just on the booze cruise and just going for it. And I think next week I'm going to do an hour, the drunk hour, and only have people call up that are completely sloshed. And we'll just play a game with the drunk people. Because you know when someone's completely hammered.
Yeah.
Every drunk caller I've ever had, if you ask them, I do this bit where I ask them to blow into the phone, right? We pretend like we have a breathalyzer test to determine how drunk they are. And if you're drunk, every drunk does it. They might complain about it, but they're going to do it. And it's a good indicator. So it's pretty funny.
That's great.
All right, a new survey out says that influencers have shown engagement has been spiking in recent weeks on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and whatnot.
Yeah, I won't use TikTok. Definitely will not use that for several reasons, but I believe it with the influencers. And this is a great time for us, too, especially if we could put some stuff out there that people can engage on Instagram. Because you think about it, right now, people want advice on a couple of things. First of all, they want some advice on how to work out or what to do when they're at home. Second of all, I would imagine there's probably an uptick in people showcasing how they cook. I know I'm one of them. I was teaching you and Rich Ornberger earlier in the week.
You are such a narcissist and a douchebag.
Wait. Can't you just say thank you for supplying me with some excellent content?
No. I'm trying to help you out. I want you to be more likable. You know, be a man of the people. I know you're west of the 405. When you live west of the 405, it's hard to be relatable to the common man. But the common man does not send out photos of what they cook and brag about how long they fast. The douchebag sends that out. I fasted this week for, I think it was like over 60 hours. Did I post on social media that I fasted over 60 hours? I did not.
I don't know.
I didn't even send you. I could have sent you a photo of the screen on my phone. I didn't do it.
I don't know.
Because I didn't want to be called a douchebag.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. You're the same asshole that takes pictures of my car and the way that I park because it's an inconvenience for you to walk an extra 10 feet to the studio.
Because you're completely an ignoramus, all right? When it comes to parking, you are a stumble bum. And I am shaming you because I believe you will be scared straight by the Maller Militia.
I won't.
You will be scared straight by the Maller Militia.
And I won't. And to circle back to the original topic at hand, for everyone out there, I made a man's meal. It was a filet wrapped in bacon, 3 strips, some potatoes, and a couple green beans.
Rumor, and I'm not going to say who told me this, you didn't actually make that.
I did.
You don't know how to cook.
Oh, I do.
That's what I've heard.
No, you heard wrong.
I've heard you don't know how to cook.
I do all my cooking. I don't burn my mouth. I don't burn my pizza. I do my steak about medium to medium well.
All right. Now, I'm thinking about starting a YouTube cooking channel. That's how good a cook I am, okay? I could make a YouTube cooking channel.
You already have a functioning kitchen. How the fuck are you going to have a YouTube cooking channel?
The kitchen's like 95% done, but considering what's going on in the world, it'll never actually be finished. I'm convinced that this will just be 95% done, and then the last 5% will never actually be finished. Like, the power that's out in part of the kitchen will never be repaired because we can't have anyone come over because of what's going on. And all that. But no, wouldn't that be we should start a YouTube cooking channel, and I'll bet you my videos, when I'm making that Maller pizza pie or those Maller chicken strips or any of the other dishes that I prepare, people would love that. Oh my God. It would be a cooking sensation on the YouTube.
You have a lot of sycophants. That's why they would love it. You can shit into a fucking oven and your fans would love it. Be like, Ben, that was the greatest shit I've ever seen. Please don't wipe. Please, please, please. Can I have your soiled underwear from work? Hashtag blessed.
All right. Calm down. Calm down. He like Sprinkles the Clown over there. Lenny's old friend. We should have brought that up. Remember Sprinkles the Clown and Lenny doing the dumb dumpster diving. Remember that back in the day?
Yes.
Next time we have Lenny on, we'll have to ask him about Sprinkles the Clown.
After his pardon.
Yeah, after his pardon from Trump and, yes, the whole thing.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, how about this? Here's a depressing story. New York restaurants lost at least $2 billion in sales the first 22 days of the month of March. That, according to a survey of business in the state of New York. And it's not any different anywhere else, right?
No.
I mean, this is the same in every big city. And pretty much everywhere that has been locked down, you're looking at these kind of losses, like what we talked about earlier, and the fact you got to get back working, right? You got to get back out there and work.
Now, I will say for where we're at, I don't know about you in your area, but where we work in Sherman Oaks in Los Angeles, a lot of the establishments have kept, it's almost like Valentine's Day where they have kept business open, but they actually have their own specific menu. So it's not like they're going to go from appetizers to a main course to dessert or whatever, but they have streamlined a menu for picking up, especially like in Sherman Oaks and Studio City. Makes it easy. So we pop in and out of the studio, we can place an order and you can either get it to go on your own or have someone else pick it up like for DoorDash or whatever. But at least some of the places here in LA, they've kept it open. But yeah, that's got to be a brutal shot to New York. How is your brother surviving out there, by the way?
He's doing okay. You know, they're cooped up in their apartment, obviously, so they don't have like a backyard to go out and wander around in. So they've been trying to go out and walk. I really feel bad for my nieces, though. I mean, my older niece, she's a senior in high school. This is her last year in high school, and this is how she ends her high school career. You know, it's always a big deal. You don't get any of the fun things that you would normally get at the end of high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially like she's social. I'm not. I didn't really mind it. I hated high school, but she liked it. And she's getting ready to go to college. And that's the other thing. Like she's going to college next, I guess later this year now, in South Carolina, Charleston.
Oh.
And who knows if that's going to happen, right? I mean, are we going to start next school year? Is this still going to be going on? Is she going to have to do online classes? And But my brother seems to be doing pretty well. They're all in good health last we checked, knock on wood. But they're wandering around, and they're right in the belly of the beast there in New York City where it's been brutal. So.
And since we have downtime, that means we should be pressing on with our ambitions of doing television work, yes? I mean, we should be networking and reaching out to people and pitching stuff, but it seems like I have been doing that and you've just been, you know.
I really haven't been reaching out to anybody because I just feel like no one's hiring anybody right now. None of this stuff's going to happen right now. So what are we doing?
You're casting a line for future, not for now.
I feel guilty though. So many of my friends are losing their jobs. I feel like, why am I really going to?
What are you talking about? You just lost a job a couple days ago.
I know. I did lose one of my jobs. So I'm like,
Do you feel bad for me? I've lost a couple of jobs so far.
Yeah, not really. No, I don't feel bad for you. Yeah. Should I feel bad for you?
I think so, because it all ties into you. I mean,
but you'll get your jobs back. Like, your jobs are, you do play-by-play. Like, that'll come back. There will be games again, and they will hire you to do play-by-play. They can't really hire you to do play-by-play. What are you going to do play-by-play on?
You're
Marvel
cooking.
Racing?
You're cooking.
My cooking's great.
Yeah, I could do some play-by-play in your cooking.
All right, let me do a couple more quick ones here because I want to get these in because I put these things together, so I don't want to waste my hard work preparing these. A new survey suggested that more than half of concert attendees in the United States might not buy tickets for a considerable period after the current coronavirus restrictions are lifted. So they're concerned this is going to destroy the live venue business model with concerts and comedy and all that people are not going to go out. And I think this is a legitimate concern. I don't think this is bullshit because a certain number of people, and maybe it's rightfully so, have been scared beyond belief because of this. And so it's going to take a decent amount of time for people to be willing to go out and experience these things and not be scared out of their mind.
I will admit to you, and to those listening, I was hesitant about going to concerts or these big public events after the Las Vegas shooting. You know, I mean, the Las Vegas shooting, I've had people that were actually there that were impacted by it. But I was really, really apprehensive about going to any kind of large event, whether it's for sports or for music. And I love going to Staples, obviously, for, you know, Kings and Lakers and Clippers or whatever, and Hollywood Bowl's right next to us too for music events and concerts. But yeah, man, I can't imagine that. I mean, it's fortunate though, if you wanted to, Ben, there's some great deals online if you want to buy flights. And most of the major airlines, if you book, like, for example, like JetBlue and a couple of their airlines, if you purchase a ticket right now, I think they'll give you a refund or a credit 100% without any costs if you buy anything from now until September the 5th. So, you know, if you have any thoughts that this could turn or it could actually correct itself, I mean, there's deals to be had.
Yeah, it depends on your level of daredevilness, right? Yeah. I guess if you got a...
antibodies.
Or if you have like a good mask, you know. I imagine that's the other thing. When we start flying again, when people start flying, isn't everyone going to be wearing masks and gloves and all that when they fly now? Is that going to become the new normal for a while when people start flying again?
I think so. Like, do you and the missus wear masks when you guys knock the boots in the bed?
That's just kind of a personal question.
Well, I'm sorry, it's a personal podcast. I can't.
I think
ask
my
that.
Wife actually wants me to wear a mask. She would prefer that I wear a mask. So yeah, like Freddy Krueger.
Like a Cleveland Browns fan.
Now this is something that I've noticed in my life. A new survey shows that many Americans have reacted to the current events in the world today, the uncertainty brought on by the current pandemic, by buying blank or thinking about buying blank. What do you think, Geska?
A gun.
That is correct.
Yeah.
When I walk around my neighborhood, and I guess I live in an interesting part of town because there's several gun stores that are kind of around here.
Yeah.
And there's been lines every day. And hand to God, every day since this started, I have seen a line of three or four, mostly men, but occasionally women, in line outside the gun shop.
Yeah.
And you're from a police family, Gascon, so you're armed and ready and all that. I don't know. I've always kind of been against it, but I'm not anti-gun, but I don't know if I feel like there's more risk in harming someone from, you know, misuse of the gun than actually defending yourself, but it's an option. A lot of people are doing it these days.
Yeah, there's a gun store next to where we'd go for Tito's Tacos that had a bunch of publicity on them because they actually had to close down temporarily because of the LA County Sheriff order saying that they weren't allowed to sell weapons. And then that was quickly reversed within a 24-hour period. But yeah, I'm all for protecting yourself, especially in this day and age. And if a quarantine goes on any longer, I mean, we're in the month of April right now, but it could bleed into May or June. And
yeah,
if people aren't working and people are short on things, I mean, we lived through the LA riots and, you know, it was mad chaos in the mid 90s and store owners had to protect themselves. Homeowners need to protect themselves. And I'm all for self-defense, especially in the time that we're living in right now. And like you said, I've seen men and women alike trying to buy arms. So,
yep. You know. The gun business is booming right now. All right. A couple quick ones here. More men than women are distracted by this while driving. What distracts more men than women while driving?
Normally I'd say racks, but I'd say cell phone.
Cell phone?
Yeah.
No, billboards. Billboards.
Okay.
Apparently the dudes pay more attention to the billboards than the ladies. So
there's always that one billboard in downtown Los Angeles with that orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if you remember this, but when you're driving the 110 freeway towards Dodger Stadium, there's the orchestra on the east side of the 110 freeway, and it's like five or six musicians that are looking at you. And as you drive, they're still looking at you, and as you drive past them, they're still looking at you. So I've always been distracted by that billboard.
That's the one that does it for you?
Yes.
Well, you know, if you're distracted by billboards, you should go to Santa Barbara. There's no billboards in Santa Barbara.
That's true.
It's against the city ordinance. Yeah. They are not allowed to have billboards. I love Santa Barbara. I've not been there in a long time. I can't go there now either, but Santa Barbara is a wonderful place, right? Beautiful.
Yeah,
love Santa Barbara.
They had two great places to eat, Woodstock Pizza and Freebirds, which was Mexican food. It was actually a really good version of what Chipotle is supposed to be, but those two spots were the hot spots when I go to Santa Barbara.
All right, last one I've got here in this hodgepodge of study this. They say the average person has 13 of these. What are they, Gasco?
13. How about 13 pairs of shoes?
No. That's a lot of shoes for people.
I know.
The answer, Gascon, is secrets. Each person has an average of 13 secrets that they are keeping from the rest of us.
Can you tell me a secret or two?
No, because then there wouldn't be secrets.
Well, I mean,
it's not how it works.
Yeah, so
I tell you the secret, it's no longer a secret.
Yeah, but we can skew that average down a little bit.
You tell me a secret.
I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah, okay. No, I'll tell you off the air, too. How about that? All right, that is it. We'll put the baby to bed. Listen, be safe, stay healthy. Thank you. Tell your friends about the podcast. Keep those downloads coming. And all it, right, guess what? All we need is 1 minute, right?
Yes.
1 minute, that's it.
So your Instagram account is what?
It's Ben Maller on Fox. Ben Maller on Fox. I'm on Facebook, Ben Maller Show. And I'm on Twitter, just my name, Ben Maller, M-A-L-L-E-R. If you don't know how to spell that, that's a bad job by you.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, at David J. Gascon, and then on Instagram, at Dave Gascon.
And that's J, just the letter J, not J-A-Y, right?
But my full middle name is J-A-Y, yes. But,
really?
That's
like Homer J. Simpson.
Yeah, kind of. My dad's middle name is Javier, after my grandfather, so my mom didn't want me to carry that same. My mom didn't want me to be a junior, so she liked to have my middle name as J-A-Y.
Uh-huh.
Which is good. Right. It flies.
Fun fact about David Gascon.
That's a secret.
That would be a trivia question.
There you go.
It's a secret. It's a family secret. I know. It's amazing. All right. Listen, have a great weekend, what's left of it, and we'll catch you next time.